This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Thanks, I'm Norm MacDonald, and now the fake news. Well, it is finally official. Murder is legal in the state of California.
Oh, what I wouldn't give to have Norm MacDonald back for one more appearance on Saturday Night Live tomorrow night, 11:30 Eastern, to have him manning the update desk and reacting to the news that that evil monster, that piece of garbage, is no longer with us. That was a great day yesterday, let's be honest. There's been a lot of bad news lately. This was great news. All we can hope is that he suffered. I knew this was coming. I knew yesterday when we heard the news that O.J. Simpson had passed away at the age of 76. I knew there'd be people in the media who would step in it, let's just say. I knew there'd be dumb people on Twitter who would have just idiotic reactions to this. I understand. In some cases, they just don't know. It was 30 years ago. Maybe they don't remember what happened. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they're trying to be contrarian. Maybe they're just doing what so many people do. They're reacting based on skin color alone. And a black man got away with double murder, and they're okay with that. Because as one CNN analyst said, they've seen that happen so often with white people. I'm not sure who she's talking about. We'll get to her. We'll get to her. It's amazing. I'm not sure how many high-profile white people got away with double murder. And I'm not sure any white people rejoiced because, you know, one of their own got away with murder. But it is truly incredible to look back at the reaction in 1994 after this guy, O.J. Simpson, beloved celebrity, actor, Hertz pitch man, commentator, legend, murdered his wife, his ex-wife, and her friend Ron Goldman, butchered them, and got away with it. It brought back so many memories, I'm telling you. This was the beginning of this race-obsessed society we live in now. I mean, there's a lot of other people to blame. Barack Obama would be number one on that list. Certainly Joe Biden. There are people in power who have worked tirelessly to divide the country along race, but it was never quite as illuminated, quite as celebrated as it was not on the day he killed her, but the day he walked free after killing her and not doing a really good job of covering his tracks. Literally, he had blood on his hands and his socks and his feet. Everybody knows. Here's the bottom line. Here's the premise from which we work. He did it. Everyone knows he did it. Everyone on his dream team of lawyers who joyously worked to get him off, to free a double murderer. I understand. Everybody deserves a defense. Everybody gets a defense. These people, these vile actors, Alan Dershowitz, Robert Shapiro, Johnny Cochran, Kardashian, they didn't just provide a defense. They enjoyed it. They found great joy in working hard to fool this brain-dead jury to get this man off when they knew he was guilty. I watched Dershowitz last night on with Greg Kelly. He's still enjoying the fact that he, sitting here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, volunteered to fly across the country and take part in this charade. He was still giddy that a guy he knew nearly cut his ex-wife's head off and butchered her friend, her innocent friend. He got him off. He got him freed. He got him not guilty. And he still is very proud of that. That's not how it's supposed to work. Defense attorneys aren't supposed to rejoice when they free a killer. The only one on the defense team who seemed to show any guilt, any remorse, was Kardashian. I know Shapiro, later on, Shapiro talked about how it was, you know, uncomfortable, the whole idea of celebrating their efforts to free this man. But when they read the verdict, Kardashian looks shocked disgusted, standing there right there next to OJ. Now, I know Kardashian has been accused of hiding the evidence of getting rid of the bloody clothes because there was a lot of blood, as OJ later admits in a confession, quote unquote, which was remarkable. I wonder how many people today, people on CNN, at the New York Times, people on Twitter, who are looking back and saying, hey, he was acquitted. What can you do? He was acquitted. He wasn't convicted. How many know that he sat down for over an hour with Judith Regan and recounted, I mean, literally talked about how he did it to sell a book called If I Did It. If, you can't see the word if. The book is literally called I Did It. And he made a lot of money on this. This is the kind of person that they were mourning yesterday. We'll get to that interview. It's just incredible. I mean, again, I was there. I was on the air. I was in Cleveland with the Boston Red Sox. I believe it was Cleveland when the verdict came down. They celebrated this verdict in many places. At Howard University Law School. These people are lawyers now, judges. Rejoiced. The audience at Oprah's show was watching live. We got that. This is amazing. The black people in Oprah's audience celebrated. Again, they know he did it. They know he butchered two people. And they don't care because race, because Rodney King. I understand you're upset at the Rodney King verdict. That was insane. Rodney King was beaten by the cops after Rodney King was on drugs. He was a violent felon who was resisting. The cops appeared to break the law. They were acquitted. So that for that, you want to free a killer? I've never quite got my mind around that. Find another victim, you know, of racist cops. Why to pick this one? Why pick O.J. Simpson if you're a black American? O.J. Simpson turned his back on the black community. O.J. Simpson dumped his black wife and married his white trophy wife, who he later killed. O.J. Simpson turned his back on black friends. His friends were at Riviera Country Club. He lived in Brentwood. He didn't live in the black community. He didn't care about the black community. And somehow he became this Emmett Till-like figure to the black community. It was madness. And in that time, it was apparent that none of these people, none of them, cared about Nicole Brown Simpson or Ron Goldman. I guess because they're white. So the hell with them. Let's let him walk free. This privileged, rich, famous guy walks free after committing two murders. And they don't just say, oh, good. They jump for joy. Let's watch the reaction in the Oprah audience to the verdict as it came down live. Go ahead.
In case number BA097211, we the jury in the above entitled action find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We the jury in the...
Even Oprah was like, Jesus.
Oprah, to her credit, is disgusted. I mean, obviously, she was paying attention. She's a smart woman. She knows they just freed a killer. And the people all around her are jumping for joy like their team just won the title. I wonder how many of these people, if they're still alive, look at that with shame, humiliation. You're cheering because a jury that was too dumb to understand DNA, too dumb to care about blood that was found on OJ and at the scene. I know Darden and Marcia Clark were terrible in this case. I know that they share some blame. They allowed the stunt where OJ pretended the gloves didn't fit, which is just embarrassing. I mean, he has latex gloves under the leather gloves. and he pretends they don't fit, and they fall for this. Well, the prosecution allowed that stunt. They said, sure. They stood there, Darden stood there and watched as OJ put on a performance and then pretends the hat doesn't fit. It was just silly. It was a stunt, but it worked because the prosecutor, Gil Garcetti, allowed it to be tried in a area, allowed the jury to be predominantly black, even though OJ's peers weren't black. OJ's peers were in Brentwood. His peers were at Riviera Country Club. They weren't. He didn't spend any time in the black community. He didn't care about them, but they sure did care about him. And when people look now, because we're so race obsessed now, the instinct for people in the media, at the New York Times, on CNN, was to look back and think somehow, you know, this was just and fair because he's black and they were white. We have just lost our way. If we can't look back on this, you know, the way we look back on whatever, on Rodney, on Emmett Till again, or on Martin Luther King, and say that was a great injustice. Well, this was a great injustice, but they're okay with it because OJ is black and Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman were white. That's where we are still 30 years later. We are still there. And their instinct yesterday was to say, hey, he was acquitted, so you know, we're okay with that. Well, you know he did it. You know the trial was a joke. You know a great injustice happened that day. You know this monster never showed any remorse to the day he died. He not only didn't pay what he owed to the Goldman family, he tried to cash in on it every step of the way, literally. Writing a book, or someone helped him write a book, explaining exactly how he did it, the murder. It's just amazing. I don't remember watching this live, but this was 6 years ago. And Judith Regan, the famous publisher, she did a sit-down interview, which initially she did in 2006, about the book he wrote, How I Did It. And they didn't air it on Fox. They didn't air it anywhere. Didn't see the light of day. He literally sat down with her. So I guess that would be, 12 years after the murder, and explained to her how he did it. He explained how he grabbed the knife and dropped the glove and there was blood everywhere. He explained and how he lost his mind and how Ron Goldman got in a karate stance because he was trying to defend Nicole Brown Simpson. He explains the whole thing to Judith Regan on TV to sell a book. This is the man that yesterday many people on social media, in the media, at the White House, were offering condolences to his family. We'll get to KJP, who seemed to forget. It's odd. It's an odd thing the Biden administration does. They forget about the victims. It's just what they do. They forget about Lake and Riley. They forget about hostages. They forget about 13 warriors killed at Abbey Gate. They forget about those people. Their hearts, their minds, their instinct is to sympathize with the perpetrator, with the criminal, with the murderer. And they did it again yesterday. We'll get to that. But we got to play this video. I forgot about it. It's just amazing. A murderer in the biggest murder case in modern American history sat down and explained how he did it. There was no outrage. There was no remorse. There was nobody on his dream team saying, you know, we're real sorry. We put on that performance. We're sorry. We jumped for joy when this scumbag walked free. But hey, you would like to see a little remorse or maybe just lay low, but no. He sat in front of the camera and explained how he committed the murders. Let's watch a little bit of it.
You know, we talk in this book about hypotheticals.
In the 12-year-old interview, which finally aired Sunday on Fox, O.J. Simpson was asked to speculate about the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and Ron Goldman.
I don't think any two people could be murdered the way they were without everybody being covered in blood.
He was speaking with publisher Judith Regan to promote the book, If I Did It.
You reached under the seat for...
a knife.
In what was called a hypothetical account of the crime, Simpson said he and a friend named Charlie went to his ex-wife's house.
As things got heated, I just remember Nicole fell and hurt herself. And I remember I grabbed a knife. I do remember that portion, taking a knife from Charlie. And to be honest, after that, I don't remember.
Public backlash kept Fox from airing the interview in 2006, but it resurfaced in a two-hour special called O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession.
You write about removing a glove before taking the knife from Charlie.
You know, I had no conscious memory of doing that, but obviously I must have because they found a glove there.
The former football star was found not guilty during a criminal trial. One of the prosecutors, Christopher Darden, reacted to the interview.
I think he's confessed to murder.
But Simpson's attorney says his client only did the interview in book for money.
This interview is not really an interview. It's essentially almost a fake interview that goes along with a fictional book that was not even written by Mr. Simpson.
An old interview making new headlines.
He goes, this is an hour long. I watched much of it. I mean, he's got details. Oh, it's covered in blood. And I mean, it just, he tells you what he did. And yet we still had people yesterday saying, well, he beat the rap. He walked free. Just incredible. And I knew as soon as this happened, as soon as he died, we would go here. We would have people in the media forgetting. We'll give them credit. We'll say they forgot. Or maybe they weren't paying attention. Maybe they don't know all the details. But, I mean, I could sit here and go over everything. You know, the blood, the gloves, the hair fibers. They proved him guilty. Now, I understand, I understand jury nullification. I understand there were eight black people and two mixed race people and two white people on the jury. They came back with the not guilty verdict in 4 hours. 4 hours. They didn't care about DNA evidence. They didn't care about blood. They were going to get even. And they did. They got even for Rodney King. They freed this multimillionaire celebrity who nearly cut his wife's head off. All right, before I get to the New York Times and some of the most incredible reactions, this was near the top of the list. This is CNN analyst Ashley Allison talking about the verdict yesterday and explaining why people were happy to see a double murderer go free. God, let's listen to Ashley.
But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how Black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the Black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how Black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers. And I guess I would just close with this, is that there was racial tension then, there is racial tension now. It might not be the backdrop of the Trump campaign, but until this country is ready to actually have an honest conversation about the racial dynamics from our origin story till today, we will always have moments like O.J. Simpson that manifest, and our country will always be divided if we don't actually deal with the issue of race.
Oh, God. I cannot believe someone said that on CNN. Until we have a conversation, the conversation never stops. It's all we talk about. I mean, God knows in 2020, 2021, that's it. We are obsessed with race in this country. And it's just the opposite. Until we stop having this conversation, we'll never move past these differences. Until you stop drilling it into the heads of children that somehow they must receive reparations for slavery. Somehow that you should not allow white police officers to pull you over, as we talk about every day. Until you stop obsessing over immutable characteristics, something no one, you can't do anything about, we're never going to move on. I mean, we haven't moved on. We never will. And yet, she says we need a conversation. How about we shut up? How about we move on? How about we stop obsessing over irrelevant physical characteristics? Wouldn't that make more sense? We got more from CNN.
And it's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
Stephanie,
get away with
a straight face. People were happy to see someone rich and black get away with this, get away with murdering two people, not, you know, getting a lighter sentence. They were happy to see a murderer walk free. I think of Fred Goldman all the time. You imagine that's your son who happened to be there trying to protect his friend, and he gets butchered by this monster. And not half the country, but millions of people are happy because he's rich and famous and black. God, and that doesn't seem to bother anybody. Doesn't bother Alan Dershowitz. Doesn't bother, you know, people at the New York Times. We got so much to get to here. Let me break and then get back to this, because we have so much more from the great Norm Macdonald, one of the great stories in the aftermath of the obscene verdict. I got the New York Times reaction, which they were forced to rewrite, to edit, because there was so much blowback. And we got just morons on Twitter and social media reacting to this. It is just such a... I was there. I was following it. I watched much of the trial. It was absolute insanity. Every American, every decent person should be outraged. This piece of garbage walked free. Granted, he ended up serving 9 years for stealing his own stuff with a gun in Las Vegas. That was justice, but 9 years is not nearly enough, was not nearly enough. The man deserved to die in prison. That was the only unfortunate thing. He died surrounded by his family. And by the way, each and every one of them, each kid, each grandkid, each cousin, friend, they know he did it. Everybody knows he did it. Nobody believes he didn't do it. And yet they just lived in denial. It's just an amazing thing to see. And we got lots of it here. We also got to get to this Trump trial, which begins Monday. Trump is going to be forced to sit in court for weeks and weeks on this insane persecution, this case that no one else wanted to bring. Years old case that Biden's surrogates in New York are bringing to keep Trump off the campaign trail. We'll give you our Masters update. It was a great day yesterday. Great day of golf watching. God, I just love it. And if you thought there would be no one out there to defend Joe Biden who showered with his daughter, we know that. It's been confirmed. The diary's real. Joe Biden showered with his young daughter. If you thought there'd be no one who would be able to defend that, most of the media's ignored it. We got the most incredible tweet from a left-wing Democrat influencer who wants you to think, everybody does it. Fathers all shower with their daughters. I don't want to hang out with this guy. We'll get to that and more, but first.
Excuse me.
Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning, and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here, and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia Serum plus Provia Super Concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right. To review, O.J. Simpson was a serial domestic abuser. He was an evil, awful man. Now, he was a great actor. I should say great actor. I guess he was. He pretended to be this likable guy. He was in movies. He was on TV. He was doing commercials. People thought he was something it was not. That was a big part of the story. He was inside, deep inside, evil, truly monstrous. He beat Nicole Brown Simpson on a regular basis. The police were called to his house at least 8 times. We've seen pictures of her beaten and bruised. They would come to the house and just yuck it up with, juice. Hey, juice. And he'd say, we're good. He smashed her car up with a baseball bat. Cops came. He said, it's my car. I paid for it. And they left. If there was any good to come out of it, I think there was a wake-up call here. You gotta pay attention when someone is repeatedly beating up his wife. And of course, it ended the way it often ends when you have someone like this who thought the way to settle his differences with his wife was to beat the crap out of her, which is what he did. And Nicole Brown Simpson called for help, begged for help. She never got it. She knew he was going to kill her eventually, and he did. And he walked free. Do we have the 911 call, by the way? I mean, I know many people have heard it before, but the people in that Oprah audience, people at Howard University, people all over the country who were celebrating this verdict, they'd heard this. This was common. This was out there. We knew what kind of guy he was at this point. They didn't care. Do we have the call? Let's hear it.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
Okay, what is he saying?
Oh, something about some guy I know and hookers and keys. And
not you guys. We're with Bella.
I started before and and it's all my fault. And now what am I going to do? Get the police in on this? And the whole thing.
She goes on to say, he's beating the shit out of me. And they send a cop over. He never did a day in jail. 8 times, at least 8. I mean, there were more because they don't record them. They don't register them. Sometimes they just go and say, hey, juice, cool off. Okay, sorry, you guys. Big smile, you know. And they say, hey, loved you as Nordberg in Naked Gun. And they leave. That's the kind of guy they were cheering for at a law school. All right, before we get to the New York Times, I got to get to this LA Times, New York Times. This, I knew this was coming. I sat here yesterday after the news that he died and said, any minute now, we're going to get to the friggin' clowns, the fools, the people, I guess, maybe don't understand, don't know what happened, don't know all the evidence. Just say, juice, OJ. There's a guy, Dove Kleeman. Never heard of him, but he's got a big following. Covers the NFL. Let me just get his bio. He's an NFL reporter, you know, thinks he's a big newsbreaker. He's got 286,000 followers. He says, follow me for the best and most accurate NFL news. He tweets out OJ's career stats. This was minutes after the verdict. MVP, 6-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Famer. His next line, complicated life off the field, but on the field, no one can deny he was a stud. Complicated life? That's what you call someone who murdered two people, who beat the crap out of his wife repeatedly. That's what you call a guy who committed armed robbery in Las Vegas, who committed kidnapping because he held the people there until he got his stuff back. That's a complicated life. No, I wouldn't call that complicated. But Dove, whoever the hell he is, just one of many. Check this out. It's from the New York Post. They write, the New York Times was forced to edit its obituary for O.J. Simpson after it provoked reader outrage, saying, quote, his world was ruined after he was charged with killing his wife and her friend. His world was ruined. What would you say about Ron Goldman's world or Nicole Brown Simpson's world? Kind of rocked their world a little bit too, wouldn't you, New York Times? They ended up rewriting because there was so much blowback. They changed it to, he ran to football fame on the field and made a fortune in movies, but his world was ruined after he was charged with killing his wife and friend. What? That's what they rewrote it to. And then they said his trial for the murder of his wife and friend became an inflection point on race in America, which is what it became, an inflection point, because people like this at the New York Times made it an inflection point. That's just one of many. I was tweeting about all these. See the NPR reaction? The NPR said he was known for his football prowess in the lead of the obit. No, if he was just a football player, no one would have cared yesterday. It would have been like, you know, Gail Sayers passing away. It would have been a story in the football world, the sports world, but that's not what he was known for, NPR. The LA Times was forced to change story too. The LA Times, check this out. You heard the CNN woman inject Trump into it? You knew it was coming? Had to. Trump. They have to find out. In fact, I was waiting for some pictures and stories about Trump being friendly with OJ. I haven't seen him yet. Trump hasn't posted about OJ yet. He will, and it'll be wild. The LA Times, let me get to their line. This was literally what they posted. Long before this, about OJ going to prison, long before the city woke up on a fall morning in 2017, Trump walked out of Lovelock Correctional Center outside of Reno, a free man for the first time in 9 years. They mistook OJ for Trump in their story yesterday. They said Trump was serving. This is the LA Times, a once respected newspaper, which is now obviously a joke. And they were forced to correct it and say, our mistake, the error has been corrected. And they put Simpson in place of Trump. Oh, these people, they're, you know. Whatever. It's what they do. It's how they react. Let's force Trump into this story. New York Post generally gets it right. Is that page one? That's a good one. The real killer is dead. The real killer is finally dead. The real killer. I had a lot of people tweeting at me saying, oh, he was acquitted. His son did it. Colombian drug lords. There's never been a story. There's never been an issue in this country where people have been more delusional or dishonest or think somehow that he deserved to be acquitted because the prosecution was lousy. You know, that they were not good, Marsha Clark. So let him walk. I mean, they tried to get a mistrial so they could get a do-over. Dershowitz made the case against the mistrial, and he was thrilled to see a double murderer. I wonder if he, you know, sees him around and kept in touch, you know, with the guy that he helped free, knowing he's guilty as hell. And of course, the White House never lets you down. KJP, the worst press secretary in the history of that job, was asked about the death of O.J. Simpson. Listen to her reaction and see if you can find any omission, what she may have left out in this answer. Go ahead.
I'll say this, our thoughts are with his families during this difficult time, obviously with his family and loved ones. And I'll say this, I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that. I'll just leave it there.
How do you react to a guy who killed two people and not mention the two people or the families of those two people or the father, Fred Goldman, or the family, the sister of Nicole Brown? How do you react to the death of a murderer and all you do is offer condolences to his family? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't care about his family. They know he did it. They are going to inherit, I assume, his money. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to refuse to pay the bill. They're going to refuse to pay what they owe the Goldmans and the Browns, just like he did. I heard he's worth over $100 million. He owes them over $100 million with interest. He was ordered to pay them $33 million. He paid them nothing. They still owe them. I need someone to tell me why they can't be forced. Why Donald Trump has to be forced to pay $85 or $175 million. But O.J. Simpson can just play golf every day and whatever, make videos about football and enjoy his life with his family, but he doesn't have to pay his bills. I'll never understand that. I need to. But we should, before we move on, this is perhaps my favorite story to come out of the whole OJ thing. You got to understand the times. Norm MacDonald was on Saturday Night Live. He did Weekend Update, and he was great. He was so good at this. And every time you see Colin Jost and the other guy,
Michael Che,
just know that they are nothing compared to Norm MacDonald. Dennis Miller was very good at it too, but Norm was the best. Norm MacDonald was told no OJ jokes. Don Ohlmeyer, who was a big executive at NBC, was a friend of OJ. Don Ohlmeyer was told MacDonald, there'll be no OJ jokes. And we played the first one. Can we play it again? I'm going to play the first one again. When he went on the air, Saturday Night Live, immediately after the great miscarriage of justice, when this idiotic jury let him walk out of court, a free man, the next Saturday at 11:30, it's live. MacDonald's told, no jokes. And this was his first joke. Do we have it?
Yep. Pulling it up right now.
Thanks. I'm Norm MacDonald. And now the fake news. Well, it is finally official. Murder is legal in the state of California.
We didn't know at the time how great that was. He was fired for making OJ jokes. He had this great job, dream job, I'm sure. He lost that job, and so did his writer, Jim Downey. They got fired for mocking, for joking about a man who committed double murder. That is one of the great FUs of all time. And there was so much more. He just kept going. That wasn't it. He just kept going and going till they pulled him off the air. There's a montage of, 10 minutes of OJ jokes. We'll play a little of it. You picking this up at the 2-minute mark here, Ironhead?
Call me OJ. Yes.
There he is. Look at the look on his face. He was so great.
In his book, OJ Simpson says that he would have taken a bullet or stood in front of a train for Nicole. Man, I'm going to tell you, that is some bad luck when the one guy who would have died for you kills you. That's probably... You don't get worse luck than that. And OJ announced this week that he's coming out with a new book called I Want to Tell You. And if it's successful, OJ will work on yet another book entitled From Football to Prison, My 25 Years of Showering with Other Men. And finally, in honor of the 50th anniversary of their first publication, Random House will be releasing special commemorative issues of many Dr. Seuss classics. The first to hit the bookshelves will be Green Eggs and Ham and OJ is Guilty. Judge Ito was interviewed this week by a local TV station in Los Angeles. Asked by the interviewer if it was appropriate for a supposedly impartial judge to be on TV with his case still pending, Ito said, "Maybe not, but how appropriate is it to kill your ex-wife?" It was revealed today that O.J. Simpson told police that Nicole Brown Simpson used to beat him up. He also claimed that she and Ron Goldman killed him. O.J. Simpson's lawyers have decided to skip hearings on DNA evidence and go right to trial. Asked why they did this, the lawyers replied, "We want to get O.J. acquitted as speedily as possible so he can get back to doing what he does best. Killing people."
I know you want to play that all day, Ironhead. He's so good.
I sure do. My favorite one was when he was at the ESPYs, though. That was...
Oh, no question. We almost forgot that one. This is... And you got to see it. If you're just listening, the reaction is just priceless. There are so many people, I should say, black people. I think probably the white people are laughing. Again, this is one of these deals where the room is split. And they don't want Norm MacDonald at the ESPYs to make OJ jokes. And of course, that's all Norm MacDonald needed to hear. Let's play it.
And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Great, Andy. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
Ken Griffey Jr. didn't like it.
Ken Griffey Jr. is just not having it. Just, oh, God, Norm MacDonald was the best.
He really was.
Before we move on, I just sent you this clip. It's unbelievable. I want you to keep this in mind when we hear all this praise for Shapiro and Cochran and Kardashian and Dershowitz and F. Lee Bailey, these horrible people who thought it was just a wonderful thing that they performed with the gloves and the hat and they convinced this jury of OJ's innocence. Here's what you have to keep in mind. They weren't listening. They didn't care. They didn't care about the blood evidence. They didn't care about the DNA. They didn't care. They were determined to free a black man because of Rodney King or because of other injustices. It didn't matter what they did. The whole thing with the pretending the gloves didn't fit, it didn't matter. They were going to let him walk. And they did, again, after 4 hours. They had lunch and they said, "You can go now, double murderer." This was an interview. I'd never seen this before with a jury, with a juror. She's now... elderly black woman in LA, but listen to how she describes their, you know, deliberations and how they went through the process. Go ahead.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit OJ because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of us.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
Ugh. Just shrugs. Yeah, think that's right. Payback for Rodney King. Freeing a murderer. Payback. That's if you weren't around 30 years ago, there it is right there. Jury didn't care that he did it. They know he did it. Just like everyone else knows he did. They didn't care. They knew those cops got away with beating up Rodney King, so they were going to let O.J. Simpson get away with killing two people in cold blood.
I think people who are fans of O.J. should be locked up themselves. What do you think?
Yes. I'm a man. The NFL Hall of Fame released a long statement about O.J. They did not mention the murders, and they did not glorify him. They just went through his stats and what he did. They have a policy that if you're in the Hall of Fame, there is nothing to get you kicked out of the Hall of Fame. So when you go to the Hall of Fame, as I did, the first bust you're drawn to is O.J. Simpson because you can't believe it's in there. And you look at it and you say, holy crap, is a murderer. And when you walk in the big room with all the busts, all the people around O.J. Simpson, including me, I'm not smiling, I'm not celebrating. But if you're watching along, that's me in Canton, Ohio, proving, showing people that O.J. is still in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Dove Kleeman and others are happy because he was a stud. O.J. Simpson was a stud. Oh, God. I didn't think I'd get this upset. I knew it was coming, but I didn't think I would get this disgusted with these people. But I did. Can't help it. Anyway, before we move on, I could do O.J. for 3 hours. Mm. I really could. I could do O.J. for 3 hours. There's so much here, but we got to move on this Friday, Masters Friday. We'll get to a Masters update and get to a defense. Yes, it's out there. Someone is defending Joe Biden, who showered with his daughter. We'll get to that and more. But first, we all know the stock market has seen unprecedented fluctuation over the past 3 years. And I'm just going to guess that's going to continue for at least another year. Well, silver has historically been considered a safe haven asset during times of market volatility. When uncertainty rises, investors often turn to precious metals like silver to preserve wealth and hedge against economic instability. The silver to gold ratio is at record levels. Gold is currently at an all-time high, whereas silver is below 50% of its all-time high. A ratio like this is unheard of and provides a great time to add silver to your collection. Well, CSN Mint has been providing certified U.S. Mint collectible coins and precious metals for over 20 years, and they are one of the most trusted names in numismatics. Explore CSN Mint's extensive catalog of bullion bars, coins, and numismatic collectibles. Whether you're a seasoned investor or a passionate collector, you'll find a diverse range of products to suit your needs and preferences. Rest assured that every product you purchase includes the original certificate of authenticity or is certified and graded by a third-party grader to ensure origin and purity. With CSN Mint, you can build your collection with confidence. If you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. So go to csnmint.com/Jerry and use promo code Jerry at checkout to get a free silver American Eagle over a $30 value with your purchase of $75 or more. Well, you know what's amazing? I just heard a report on the Trump trial, which begins Monday. Jury's deliberations, they handed out questionnaires, potential jurors, asking them if they're Proud Boys or a Boogaloo Boys, or they subscribe to QAnon theories. Sure, I'm sure there are a lot of them in New York. They're just going to have a New York jury of New York liberals, New York Trump haters. It's going to be a show trial, and they're going to convict him and try to put him in jail in the middle of a campaign. He has to be in court on Monday, sitting there and sitting through this bizarre, insane trial, which was set up, orchestrated by the Biden administration. They put one of their guys in the DA's office. He paid off Stormy Daniels years ago. Like 20 years ago, their lead witness is Michael Cohen, who's a convicted liar. He paid her to go away years ago. I'm sorry, when you pay someone to go away, aren't they supposed to, you know, go away? But she didn't. She's back. And it's an accounting error, which they would never try to convict anybody else for this. But they know Biden needs help and they're going to give it. But I wondered what was the limit to the defense of Joe Biden. Like, how far would people go to defend Joe Biden? And I got an answer the other day. We didn't get to this the other day when it broke, but do you know who Brian Krasenstein, what's the other Krasenstein? There's two brothers. They're both influencers, very high profile influencers.
There's Brian and then this one's Ed.
This is Ed Krasenstein. He has 1 million followers. He is a player, man. He is a real influencer. And the story broke the other day. The authenticity of the diary was confirmed when they put the woman who found it in prison for a month. She found it. She sold it to James O'Keefe. They raided O'Keefe's home, handcuffed him because he bought something that somebody found. But as we know, it was devastating, or it would be if people reported on it to Joe Biden. She says in her diary, she was super sexualized as a kid. She's got issues. And she said she would go in the shower and her father would go in with her. She said it was probably not appropriate, in parentheses. And she said she used to have to shower late at night to be sure that he wouldn't join her. That's pretty embarrassing. I'm going to guess that Ivanka Trump confessed that her father used to go in the shower, I'm going to guess Jake Tapper might mention it. Rachel Maddow, George Stephanopoulos, he might even lead with it on Sunday. This, of course, they're covering this story up with a pillow until it goes away. That's their most of the media's view on this, but not Ed Krasenstein. He jumps to the defense of Joe Biden. This is a real tweet. Put it up on the screen for me. There are plenty of fathers who've been in the same shower as their young daughters. Virtually all pediatricians and child psychologists support it up to a certain age.
Look at the comment to like ratio.
He really typed that. Yeah, 8,000 comments, 312 likes. I responded. Everybody responded. And he left it up. And he followed it up, defending a father showering with his teenage daughter. By the way, I don't care if she was 5 or 10, but she was a teenager. And that's what you get from people who are forced to defend the creep in the White House. It's normal. You know what? He doesn't list a lot of psychiatrists and child psychologists. I'm going to guess there is none, at least honest ones, who thinks it's normal for a father. I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a prude. I never stepped in a shower.
You're prude.
Or a bathtub with my daughter. Did you, Ironhead?
I've never done that, no.
I've never done it. I've never done it with my son either, but
me either.
Why would you do that? Why? I mean, that is an amazing, amazing tweet. That is up there. You could see it. Go on Twitter, Ed Krasenstein. It is there. It is still there. But all right, before we wrap this up, you know what? I'm not even going to do Brady. Brady told some tattooed guy on a podcast that he would consider coming back, which is just, catnip to the sports, talk shows and podcasts. He doesn't mean it. Brady's a little needy. He likes attention. He likes to tease people. He's not coming back. He has no intention to come back. Go ahead, play it. We got a minute. We got a few minutes.
All right.
I don't know what podcast this was, but the guy asking the questions, he's covered his whole neck and his face tattooed. And you got to see it. Brady doesn't mean this. He's just messing with people. Go ahead.
Say one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in an NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Why wouldn't they let him?
MJ coming back. How old was MJ when he came back?
I think 43. 30.
No, he wasn't that old.
Was it? With the Wizards?
MJ, Michael Jordan?
When he came to the, you're talking about the Wizards years, right?
Yeah, he wasn't, you can look. I don't think he was that old.
Oh, He
was 38. Tom Brady is 40, what is he?
46?
46. And by the way, football, quarterback, that's really hard. And the reason he won't come, he'll be 47 in August, 47. He's not a kicker. He's not a punter. He's a quarterback. He can't come back. He won't come back. He's just messing with you. And I'd be all for it just to see it. But the reason he would never do it is he doesn't want to embarrass himself. That's the last thing he wants. And he knows playing quarterback in the NFL is really, really hard. And just to be mediocre is really, really hard. the greatest of all time, can't do it at 47. Look at Tiger Woods, which brings us to our Masters update. Yesterday, I watched just about every shot. This was an amazing performance by Tiger Woods. He had to go back out today and play the final three or four holes. He finished the first round at one over, tied with Phil Mickelson, tied with John Rahm. That's an incredible performance. I mean, he looked good. Obviously, he always looks good. He wasn't limping. He wasn't doing the Biden shuffle. He was moving fine. He was putting fine. He looked good. Plus one is really, really impressive. He's tied for 36th. He's on the course now in his second round. This was an incredible performance. He might not make the cut. If he makes the cut, he won't win. He has no chance. He's 48. You can't win. You can't beat the best players in the world on that course over 72 holes at the age of 48. Forget all the surgeries and all the injuries. It's just not possible. This is the best ever, like Brady. And he's given his best and he's given the fans a good show. He can't win. It's just not possible. That's what's great about sports. They can't rig it. It's not like politics. They can't rig this so Tiger will be there in the leaderboard on Sunday. I mean, I guess there's an outside chance he is, but if he does, if he's even on the leaderboard, if he's even in contention, it's one of the great accomplishments in sports history. These are incredible players, phenomenal players, all of them, 89 of them. They're all incredible. He can't beat them all. I mean, I know people are sentimental. They're rooting for him. I'm rooting for him. I'd love to see him involved on Sunday. He's not going to be. You can save this, Ironhead, because I know you bet on him and you are pulling for him. But
if Bryson keeps playing the way he did, no one's going to be in contention.
Right. No, that ain't going to happen either. He's not used to playing 4 days. He's a live guy.
It's true.
That's what my guy, Wyndham Clark, said afterwards. He said, these live guys, they're not used to playing 4 days. It was a good shot. But there are just too many good players. And some of them will emerge and some of them will be there on Sunday. And one of them will not be Tiger Woods. It won't be Phil Mickelson either. They're just not a game that you can be at your best at 48. Sorry, can't happen. All right. Anyway, did you make a bet?
No, I didn't.
What do you think Otani's translator bet on?
I think he put a little bit on everybody.
He only bet $16 million, stole $16 million bet. He's got to be betting, man. Talk about having the bug. Talk about having the demons. He can't help himself.
Talk about having that much money you don't realize it's missing.
That is true. That is hard to believe, but what a sicko that guy is. Anyway, that will do it for today. Time to go watch some golf, Ironhead. Yep. Sorry. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I just can't stop. The Masters is the greatest sporting event on TV and in person, I'm sure. But on TV, the greatest sporting event not involving Caitlin Clark that I've ever watched. It's just riveting. But we'll get back to it. And we'll be here Monday to cover, to discuss, to watch, to observe the Trump trial, the criminal trial as it begins. What an outrage. By the way, we never got to the VP. He should name it today. Name his VP, J.D. Vance. Name him today and let him hit the campaign trail and steal all the thunder from this ridiculous trial. But probably won't happen, but that would be my suggestion. Anyway, we'll leave it there for today. Thanks, Ironhead. Thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
But I'm going to go to bed.